Yeah, we had to get systems to get them away. All right. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. We were on this when Joyce, Anna, and John left. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. We're still on endure. Let's look at endure. Everybody remember that it's hypomeno, the idea of it's enduring in rest. You can't endure and can't be on the mercy seat if you're mad. Amen?
It's righteous anger.
You've fallen so far, you can't even see the...
That was the encore.
Righteous anger. And a good reason.
All right, let's go to Matthew. We're gonna start. Matthew 10. We're gonna go traveling this morning. I'll try to do it in order, so you're going only in one direction. Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the consuls, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour, or that same moment is really what it says, what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee unto another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till a son of man be come. He that endureth till the end shall be saved. Now, this is critical because it defines your response to all these different things at every second of every day. Let's go to Romans 8.
I've got a question before we move on. Verse 23, that's kind of a cryptic statement. You shall not have gone over the cities of Israel until the Son of Man be come.
And, well, that was fulfilled, wasn't it?
On Pentecost? Or, yeah.
Okay. All right, let's go to, where did I say go to?
Romans 8.
Starting verse 28. You gotta see here that everything that we're about to read is in the past tense. That means in you it is already finished. You must, however, that good and that perfect will of God must be tested in you to see if you continue with him in his test or you think that something is going on with you. Like, by getting mad. All right. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, that means that Gary could say this morning that him being mad and kept it all day yesterday until this morning, that means that that is working together for good, that his rebellion, his leaving the mercy seat, was working together for good. Is that true?
That,
well, I know you think it's true. God will use all things, but the question is whether he will use you. There must needs be these afflictions and persecutions come, but woe by whom they cometh. There's only, in all of time and space, there will be only two things, the birth and the afterbirth. Those that have put on the righteousness of Christ and he is their only rightness, or everything else. God uses all things to perfect the seed, but the question is, will he use you? He'll use you to perfect the seed in someone else, but is that the extent of how you will be used? You must enter into this with the fear of God, or otherwise you will justify yourself. You will, in essence, be saying, let sin abound that grace may be revealed. No. No. Amen? Everybody understand that? You're chewing or are you cogitating? There's no right. There's no justification for being angry at this, for that 24-hour period.
I'm not really justifying anything.
I know, but I asked you. I said that God uses all things.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Will he use your anger?
Why not? I mean, what's the option here?
The option is, Father, forgive me. Don't let an instant go by with my anger still in existence. Don't let one millisecond go by where I haven't forgiven everyone from the heart.
I didn't mope around all day, as you implied, worried about this. That was not the point. The point is I had to reconnect with the person. And until that moment took place, there was an undealt with situation. And there, I don't see anything.
You got to hear me. You got to hear this forever and ever and ever. You did not need to reconnect to forgive, because you would think that the reconciliation is your business. The only thing that's your business is instant forgiveness. Father, forgive me.
Well,
from the heart. That means I have to protect in my mind the whatever offense that has happened to me my entire life, because had it not happened. But you can't use that to justify being out of the rest. It's like the thing that I used to use on Harry. Harry gets so mad at me, he just wanted to... He wanted to fight me so many times over the 30 years that it was unbelievable. And so, remember I used to tell him, Harry, if I go out in the backyard and beat the crap out of you, and I say, all things are of God, that's apostasy and sin beyond sin. But if you say it, it's righteousness. You can never use a leaving of the mercy seat to justify yourself. Right, Jeff?
Listen, it sounds like the reaction is as sinful as how you perceive the action.
Amen.
Against you.
Amen.
That's tough.
No, it's easy if you've abandoned yourself.
True. But that's the true test of your
Amen.
Utter abandonment.
That's it. And the only way that can happen is you're walking in the fear of God.
And that is easy, and it can be difficult too.
Well, the moment you justify it in your mind, why didn't that those blah 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 do blah blah blah? Then you become righteous. You become right. All right. Romans 8. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, past tense, he also did predestinate. Not he's going to predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called or invited. Whom he invited, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. It's all finished. The only thing that isn't finished is your friggin' mind and emotions. That's what must be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And this is the reason. It's our rebellion is the reason time and space still exists. Remember this incredible scripture. It says that Noah condemned the world by his obedience. You remember that? We condemn the world by redeeming time. If you have redeemed time, you can never be right. Amen? Amen? About anything. All right. All that is already completed. You're justified, you're glorified. Even glorified means what? Glorified means you've been transfigured. Time and space has lost its hold on you. If your mind gets in order, if your mind gets renewed. Why does he need our mind renewed? And the thing that really bugs me, and I don't understand it, is why do some have to be alive when the bride is perfected? Anyway, that's another story. Verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Or what can be against us? Nothing. Nothing. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely, without effort and without cost. Freely give us all things. Does anybody believe this? Can you just for a second imagine how this would revolutionize your life if you lived it? What's going on, Gary?
I'm thinking about the all things and that.
Doesn't leave anything out. Total freedom. All right. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Where is the love of God? Which is in Christ Jesus. So everything depends on you being in him where he is. It doesn't do you any good in the long run to say, well, I believe in Jesus, or I've accepted him as my personal Savior. Everything is dependent on you being in him where he is, and he is on that mercy seat. And everything we do, we always err on the side of mercy. No matter what the offense, no matter what situation, no matter what trouble you, and all this means, this hypomeno, the enduring. And that's what we just read in Matthew. He that endures till the end shall be saved. But there can never be a moment during that time when you justify yourself. You are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. There is nothing about us that should be esteemed by anyone. We are the offscouring of the world. We are made as the filth of the world. We are a spectacle. No part of this is attractive to any human mind. That's why we must have the mind of Christ, which is total and complete emptying.
This just brings up a world of question, I guess, for me. And I don't know if you're saying this or not, but it's like the, if you're going to be who you are, then you get the brakes off, you get the religious brakes off. Because I know the doctrine. I know when I'm doing something goofy or whatever. I knew this yesterday when I was upset that I, you know, at what point do you just be who you are, whatever it is?
You be always who you are so that you can understand and see that there is no merit in being who you are.
So good. That's the point.
So you have to say everything. Man, just think about all the crap I say. I never think about what I'm going to say next. I embarrass everybody. I embarrass John. And I mean... It's not our business. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. But it's through the stupidity of things periodically that you say, that you hear come out of your mouth, that you learn that there is no good thing in me, nay, except this life, which is Christ. But if I try to control it, then by definition, I'm still eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's just, there's no righteousness. Yeah, remember a long time ago we spent hours and days and weeks and months on just saying what's there. Whatever it is, say it, whatever, just let it bubble forth. And that's the, remember the whole idea, that's why the wine is the picture of the bride. Because the wine is first grapes. They try to be the best grape they can be. And then they get picked, and they get stomped on and crushed. And then they go through all these seven lees until there's no imperfection. But each time, if the grape tried to retain its identity instead of just being, then it would have been tossed.
That's,
what?
It's really funny what you just said. The second ago. That thing of being yourself, just being who you are. When I list my favorite movies, there are a couple of them, and that's the theme. This, the person who, you know, is in the movie, all he did was be himself, and this incredible stuff happened. So there's, you know, you be yourself with the idea, but do you have the idea that, oh, there's kind of an edge of wonder to it, you know? I'm just going to be myself, and by my uniqueness, wow.
Yeah.
But that's not what
then you become the subject.
You be yourself, and you find out, gosh, that's not much.
You find out what that is.
There's an edge to it.
But it's just, it's still the same. That hasn't changed. The wine has to bubble. The wine has everything in its, the grape has everything in itself that's needed to create the wine.
It just has to die.
You have everything in you that is needed to be of value to God. But you have to stop trying to get it right. It's bubbling forth. That's the action of fermentation in this parable. Oh, well, what about this? What about this can't even be conceived of?
Yeah, otherwise you're interfering with what God's work is.
Right.
Because you've heard and understand something that you're going to supplant him with your mind's ability.
He doesn't need our help. He has no counselors. No, he doesn't need an attorney.
The more we understand and know, the more we abandon
him. Amen.
We said that so many times.
There's nothing that anybody can teach you. By the preaching of the cross, that's what we studied yesterday, or whenever we studied. The idea that this, we studied, you remember Ezekiel's call? And he looked at the book and it was nothing but woe and lamentations. Then he ate it and it became sweet in his belly. Well, that's the mystery. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go back to Matthew 24. I thought I was going to go in one direction, and then Gary caused the problem.
Matthew 24.
Same issue. Well, anyway, we're just going to read a couple verses. In verse 10, then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So it's this theme that's going on and on. Now let's go to Isaiah 64. No, wait a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 first, then us.
Chapter
1 Corinthians 2.
verse 4. Let's read 7, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power or ability of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or fully tested, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Okay? Everybody knows that verse. Everybody, now let's see what he's quoting. Isaiah 64. And see the slight difference. He targumed Isaiah 64. Let's see what Isaiah 64 says. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. And when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. From Paul's standpoint, this mystery of waiting or enduring is defined as love, because it's a verb, love. You give importance to nothing but him. And that's tested because everything in the universe is trying to get your attention to grab you away from that mystery. But eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for him that waiteth on him. Now, can you wait on him? And that's what enduring means. No matter what comes at you. Amen? Anybody have anything come to mind during any of this with anyone? Mr. John? You notice I called him Mr. John? Miss Josanna? Rosanna? Take a big guy. We meet at 8.